Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those gathered here in the room and those listening on the phone and those listening to the recording at a later date. And it's good to be in fellowship with you all once again. Our opening song for tonight's service is Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Well, now it's time for opening prayer, and our dear brother Matt will offer that for us.
Thank you. If we could all kneel as far as possible and bow our heads before the presence of our Lord. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come together today and study and prayer and worship, and I'd also like to give a personal thanks for the almost auspicious, I can only attribute it to your grace and planning, because I actually had a prayer request tonight, and I'm sure you are aware of it. The four-month-old son of my sister-in-law's sister, Donna Petrie, their son Morgan Petrie, has been in the hospital for almost a week now, and unfortunately his condition is fairly critical. Lord, I know that you have this in your sight, but I would just like to lift him up and all their family and my family, and let them be reminded that there is no such thing as a hopeless case or a desperate cause with you, Lord, that all things are possible. And if it is within your will to heal them and draw close to them, Lord. And I thank you, and I thank you for the opportunity to pray for them and to come together this evening. And, Lord, I also thank you for the mercy you've extended to us all. We would all be lost without you. And let's continue with the study tonight, and thank you for being here and for being our God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And we will indeed be keeping the son of your sister-in-law's sister in our prayers, dear brother. And may God's perfect will be done in his life as well as the life of your precious relatives and loved ones. We're continuing in our study book of Romans, and we left off at verse 26 of chapter 3 last time. And we ended in verse 25, where Paul was admonishing the Christians that Christ had died for them and for the people of the world, and that through faith in his blood, they could receive forgiveness from the sins that were past. They could receive justification and become righteous in God's sight for all of the sins that they had done in the past, that they had asked forgiveness for, God would forgive them. So justification through the faith and the blood and the righteousness of Christ would enable God the Father, through his forbearance and love, to forgive all of these past sins and count them perfect in Christ, and all by faith. So there wasn't anything that they could do as far as works, as far as becoming righteous in and of themselves, that would merit this gift of cleansing. It was by faith alone in Jesus Christ. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So here we're dealing not just with the righteousness of Christ, but we're dealing with the righteousness of God the Father. So Christ was the sacrifice that would provide an atonement for sin that had been confessed and placed upon him. But the Father was the one who justified all of those who came for cleansing through faith in Jesus Christ. So it wasn't just Christ's righteousness that was involved in this plan of salvation. It was also the righteousness of the Father, because he was the justifier of all those who believe in Christ. So basically, you have the Father accepting Christ's sacrifice and his righteousness in behalf of those who come to Christ for cleansing. And in doing so, in cleansing these individuals and justifying them from all of their sins, revealed the Father's righteousness. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, Paul here is dealing with different kinds of laws here. He brings up the law of works, he brings up the law of faith, and then he brings up the law of God in verse 28. So the law of works, the actions that are performed in doing good or in keeping God's law, does not bring us justification or forgiveness of our sins. The law of faith, the action of faith, is what brings about our forgiveness and our justification. The deeds of the law, or the way of the law, does not bring us forgiveness. It only points out sin. It points out the fact that we've broken it. So the law cannot give us forgiveness and justification. Only by faith is it possible. Verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, or the Jews by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith, or the Gentiles through faith. Do we then make void the law, or God's Ten Commandments, through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So Paul here goes right to the heart of the matter. Since we've broken God's law and committed sin and deserved death, the only way that we can be forgiven and cleansed of those sins and made righteous again is through faith alone. So then do we make void God's law through faith alone? In other words, do we give up trying to keep God's law because we're justified by faith alone? And Paul says no. In fact, God forbid that any follower of God would give up his law. But instead, we establish the law. And this is dealing with the new covenant period. God's Ten Commandment law is established in this new covenant period. It's not done away with, and thus it could not have been nailed to the cross, as so many honest-hearted Christians believe today. Paul says we don't do away with God's law because we obtain justification by faith alone. In fact, we establish God's law in this new covenant period. For it's only by God's law that we know something to be sinful. Without God's law, then there would be nothing that was sinful. So the law points out sin, but that's its purpose. It can't forgive the sins it points out. And that's where the plan of salvation comes in, to provide a way to enable you and me to have our sins forgiven and to be made righteous and no longer a guilty sinner. And that's done by faith. So in this new covenant period, God's law is not done away with. It's instead established, just like it was in the old covenant. So that's the end of chapter 3. Are there any comments or any thoughts, anything else that you'd like to share, any questions before we go on to chapter 4?
I have a question. how do we bring out that it is circumcision is not part of the Ten Commandment law, and that this is really talking about two laws, the Ten Commandment or moral law and the ceremonial law?
Paul in Hebrews brings up that point very well, where he talks about the ceremonial law being temporary or a shadow of good things to come, whereas God's Ten Commandment law was eternal and royal. And Paul also mentions a little farther on here in Romans where it's by the law that sin is pointed out, and without the law, there would be no sin. So that's one way to point it out, is that one was temporary and the other one was eternal. Another way to point it out is that God's Ten Commandments was in existence before sin came into the world, because Adam and Eve broke God's commandments and sin came in. And it was only after sin came in that the sacrificial laws came into existence, where a substitute victim, an innocent lamb, was to be offered to transfer the sin from Adam and Eve and all of their descendants, if they would comply with the requirements, would transfer it from them onto another individual, which we know to be Christ. So that's another way to explain it, is that God's commands were in existence before sin, but the ceremonial law only came into existence after sin, and thus it was temporary. Whereas God's Ten Commandments, being before sin, could never be set aside after sin came in. Do others have another way of bringing out the difference between the two laws? Please feel free. Chapter 4, verse 1. So Paul got done talking about God's Ten Commandment law still being binding or established in the New Covenant period. And 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision or the Jews only, or upon the uncircumcision or Gentiles also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So when Abraham received the promise, he was not yet circumcised in the flesh. And he believed God's promise, and it was reckoned to him, being uncircumcised in the flesh, as righteousness. So Paul is bringing up the argument here that the righteousness that was reckoned to Abraham because he believed God . The righteousness by faith is not limited only to the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles, because Abraham became righteous by faith while he was yet uncircumcised. So the same for the Gentiles. All of those non-Jewish people, they also can receive righteousness by faith. And thus they do not first have to become Jewish. This means that no one today has to go back and keep the feast days in order to receive forgiveness of sins and salvation in Jesus Christ. No one has to say the Hebrew name for God. All they have to do in order to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ and become saved is by faith alone in Jesus Christ. They will then become justified. They will then become righteous, because God is faithful. So when individuals come to you and tell you that you have to begin keeping any of the Jewish rituals, any of the Jewish ceremonies, any of the Jewish dialects, you can tell them no way. And you can quote Romans 4, 8 through 10 as proof. So how was this righteousness by faith reckoned unto Abraham? When he was circumcised or was still uncircumcised? And the issue was when he was still uncircumcised. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So Paul's bringing up a very important principle of truth, that it doesn't matter what your lineage is, it doesn't matter what your race is, it doesn't matter what your nationality is, it doesn't matter how long you may have been part of a group that was connected with God in the past. All that matters is that you receive Jesus Christ in faith, and you come to him for cleansing as your Redeemer. That's all that is required. And your sins will be forgiven. You will be cleansed, and the righteousness of Christ will be yours by faith alone. There's no works that you have to do in order to be justified. All you have to do is believe, like Abraham did, in the promise of God, and you will become righteous. And praise God for how simple the gospel of salvation is. And praise God that anyone, regardless of color, nationality, rank, caste, can receive salvation through Jesus Christ by faith alone. Paul tells us in Galatians 5 verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free by faith alone, and be not again brought into bondage." Going back to the old ways of Judaism in order to be brought to God through your actions. Justification is by faith alone, without the deeds of the law. Are there any questions, comments, any thoughts that you'd like to share? I think we'll go ahead and stop here. And please feel free.
Good evening, everyone. I wanted to say, well, I love this lesson. I love to hear about that it's by faith and trusting and not by trying to obey in the strength of self, but by in Christ, having faith in Him and trusting Him and obeying by faith because we trust Him. And sometimes it's so simple you can almost stumble over the simplicity of it, but praise God that He helps us to come back, that it's by faith in Him and His finished work on the cross, what He did and what He is doing in us as we keep walking in faith. Praise God. But I also wanted to say that I'd like to ask for your prayers in my trial situation that you all know about, or most of you. There is a growing intensity from other sources on my side of the family. And my husband's side of the family, well, it's been there for some time now. And some with my side of the family, but not to the intensity of my husband's. But now that is starting to change. And family members, too. One very close to me, whom I visit regularly, or had been, they are saying that I have abandoned my keeping the Sabbath. So I said, well, I don't apologize for obeying the Lord. And it's not abandonment, and tried to explain the situation. But it is just as I thought it would be. It's just one more thing that I'm doing as they haven't understood me, their family, for years. But as I keep going further in my walk, I become more of a riddle and more of a target. And so I need to stand strong. The Lord is helping me. When I'm standing strong and feeling a great deal of encouragement going forward in my heart with everything with my husband, then when this comes, I know that Satan's out to discourage me. And I'm clinging to the Lord by faith. Praise the Lord for this wonderful message. but I'm clinging to the Lord knowing that this is what Christ suffered through. I can't imagine how much worse, because he had such wisdom and knowledge and grace and perfection. But this is what he suffered through, and with all of the people who are lining up against me and being as enemies to me and trying to hurt my soul unknowingly in their ignorance, it's just becoming a strong thing happening now, because the numbers, they draw strength from one another. And when they see one another, and also just please pray for me, because I want to not have any fear of what they may do in coming together or try to do to me in some way. I don't want to have any fear. And, well, just that, no fear, trusting God and doing his will, hearing him, abiding carefully. And so I appreciate your prayers very much. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing, dear sister, and we will indeed continue to uphold you in prayer. And we'll be adding our prayers along with yours, that the Lord will draw closer to you and keep you in his loving arms, and to shield you from the devil's successful attacks. He may attack you, and he may use those who do not know that they are his agents and pawns to attack you and to say all kinds of accusatory things against you that you're not guilty of. But God will prevent those attacks from being successful, because they are as darts to try and overthrow your faith. And God will negate the effects of those darts if you will continue to rest in his love and to dwell upon his word and to bring back to memory the good things that God has done for your soul. And you will indeed be comforted and established in the faith. We will indeed be praying for you, and thank you for your prayers for us as well. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other comments or thoughts or any other testimonies before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free.
Okay. You know, it seems like when things get really hard, I just want to sing. That's the thing that I just have to sing. So if you don't mind, there's a special song that I want to sing. And it's very special to my heart. And I'm sure it is to yours too. But it's Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10 through 16. My beloved is white and ruddy, the cheapest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. By the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly sand. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings, set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Oh, daughters of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. He is altogether lovely and worth all the suffering.
Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. And thank you, dear sister. That was beautiful.
There's a song that I would sing when I would get down. So I'll just sing if I can remember it. Anyway, it goes like this. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with thee. But the Lord knows I can't live on the mountain. So he picked out a valley for me. He leads me beside still water. Somewhere in the valley below, he sets me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley he restoreth my soul.
Amen. That was beautiful. And when you find or remember the rest of the stanzas there, that would be wonderful if you could sing that again. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open up a season of prayer, and whoever would like to pray and to give thanks unto the Lord, to testify of his name, and to lift up yourself and others' needs in prayer, please feel free to do so, and I'll close. So go right ahead, dear ones.
Dear Lord, thank you for pressing even closer to us when we're in the valley that's dark and dreary and our heart is hurting. We just need to reach out our hands and know that you're holding us close to you. Remove the obstacles in our way and give us that perfect peace that understands, that passes all understanding. Go with us the rest of this week, and may we start our day out with you every morning and think of you often during the day, and especially ask for guidance and the right things to say and the things not to say. Give us your blessings this evening. Be with those who couldn't be here. Refresh their souls, refresh our souls. And thank you so much, Lord, for doing this before we even ask. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we can come to you in any time of need. And if it's not our own need, we can come to you in intercessory prayer for others who have needs. And dear Father, we pray that you will please be near each one who has asked for prayer. Please hear and answer their petitions. Especially grant our dear sister Teresa extra grace and strength to know what to do, what to say, what not to say, when to say it. Give her direction and instruction in how to deal properly in a Christ-like way with the various issues that she is facing and will soon face. And please continue to work upon the heart of Mike and other of those that are involved in this terrible issue, that they will see without a doubt that they are in the wrong, and give them grace and strength and courage to change and no longer to continue following in this downward path that leads to destruction. Thank you so much, dear Father, that you're accessible to all of us at any time through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And thank you for developing such a wonderful, simple, and yet infinitely complex plan that enables us, through Jesus Christ, to have all of our sins forgiven, and we can be set free in the righteousness of our Savior, and indeed come into thy presence without fear. Thank you so much also that we're a day closer. And please draw us ever closer to thee, that we will be watching, praying, and working until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to take us home. We also pray, dear Father, that you will be with the meetings that are planned to take place in Uganda and elsewhere in Africa and around the world. Thank you for preparing hearts beforehand. Thank you for shutting Satan out of the picture so that he will not be able to successfully put barriers in the way to keep those from coming to the meetings that you would want to be there. Please also be with the young child of a relative of Brother Matt's, and please draw close to him and heal him of his affliction and ailment according to thy perfect will. And if it is according to thy will, let his healing be so miraculous that his parents will recognize that you were involved, and that this illness may be a means of bringing the entire family salvation in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, dear Father, for knowing the silent requests and the needs of each of our hearts. And we thank you so very much for allowing your perfect will to be done, and that it is not by mistake that we find ourselves where we are, but it is by your will, so that we may learn the lessons that we need to learn, so that we might be prepared for the greater tests and trials in the future. Thank you that we can turn to thee in any time of need, and thank you for thy great faithfulness and love for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
I remember the second verse to that song. If you'd like for me to sing it, I'll do it now. It's dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines. And I question, Lord, why must this be? But he tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trials for me. He leads me beside still waters, somewhere in the valley below. He sets me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley he restoreth my soul. That's a promise, Sister Teresa.
Amen. Amen. And that brings up Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. In green pastures he leadeth me, beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me, in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake he leadeth me, in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Psalms 23:1-3.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I don't know, this song just popped up. I'm a little hoarse. But the singing's for God, right? So it's coming from my heart. Okay. He led them all safely. He led them on safely, so that they fear not. Psalm 78:53. He led them on safely. He led them on safely, so that they fear not. Psalm 78:53. Wow, I haven't sang that song in forever, and it just popped up out of nowhere. So, praise God. Oh! Wow, I remember another one. I'll try it, but then, Brother Dad, you could probably sing it better, but I'll try it, okay? It goes, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12.
Okay, dear daughter, I'll sing one for you. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Dulce nombre es Cristo para mí. Siempre vivirá, siempre me amará. Por eso le bendigo tanto así, pues dulce nombre es Cristo para mí.
By request, this is a scripture song dealing with the angels. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The book of Psalms 34:7.
Well, here's another one to say that I'd like to sing. It's a little bit more about the trials of these days and how they, you know, are getting, but it's still a good one. They're all good. Everything in scripture. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know he will see us through all the trials that he brings to us, and that he has only good designs in every trial. And I keep my mind on that. He's helping me. And it's an honor. It's an honor, isn't it? When we go through trials for the cause of Christ, for obeying him. Praise God.
Amen, dear sister. Amen. Well, Derwins, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs or testimonies or thoughts? Please feel free.
I'll sing just one verse of this one. I kind of like our meeting on Wednesday night. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own.
Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, were at our side, all glory. glory be thine.
We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free.
Well, dear ones, it's been a beautiful and a refreshing service tonight. I pray that God will continue to be ever closer at your side throughout the remaining part of this week, that he'll give you a great, refreshing night's sleep, and those on the other side of the world will give you a wonderful remaining part of the day, and will keep you all safe and blessed in his loving care until we meet again in just a couple days. I'm looking forward to it. So, dear ones, keep looking up. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up a highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, and they shall call them the holy people. The redeemed of the Lord. Isaiah 62:10-12. So go through that gate of Jesus Christ, dear ones. Take away all the barriers, all the stones preventing people from seeing that upward, straight, and narrow path that leads to Christ and salvation. Follow him yourself, and you will be the redeemed of the Lord, the holy people of God. So may God bless, dear ones.